The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And my name is Christy Matthews. Thanks for listening.
So today we are talking about kind of an interesting subject, and I don't know that I hear about it once in a while, but because we're in the thick of this all the time, we don't really deal with the aftermath as much.
The post, right? The post-wedding, post-mortem.
Yeah, post-mortem, post-depression, post. I had one of my brides refer to it as a wedding hangover that she has.
Yeah. The wedding slump.
And I think most people out there that are listening are either planning, right? So they're in it. And I feel like this is an interesting subject because you all should know, right? You people out there planning need to know the end is coming.
Yeah. It does have an expiration date, wedding planning. And life doesn't end with the stroke of midnight on your wedding night and, you know, your glass slipper disappears and that's that. Like, you're going to wake up the next day and want to talk about your wedding probably, and you'll spend weeks sort of, I don't know, like reminiscing, I feel like couples do. I definitely did. Just like, well, remember that, and it was so funny when that happened. And
yeah, you ride the high.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember that.
We sort of wanted to dive into, and I'm not even sure if this topic would have occurred to us without some feedback from our loyal listeners, because what, like you said, we are in a very unique part of somebody's life, wedding planning. And then when the wedding is done, we're kind of like, okay, bye, contract's over. Like, hit me up on Facebook if you want. But that's really it. We're not calling or emailing our clients anymore. And sometimes that can feel like a little bit of a loss. Like, you've hired a wedding planner and she was sort of your wedding BFF for a while.
Yeah, I feel that sometimes too. Like, there are certain clients that I will miss. You know, like, yeah. we were like texting almost every day there toward the end, and we were like, we like the same music, and you know, I feel like my husband could totally like get along with her husband.
We like should we meet could up go as out two couples.
Yeah. And like, so
I know
sometimes
brides
that happens.
It's almost like I take on the role of, and this is not one that I necessarily relish, but it almost feels like I'm a personal assistant in that last week, because you're like a fairy godmother. Every, oh my God, question that they have. Like, did we make sure that the DJ is going to have an extra blah, blah, blah? You're just shooting your wedding planner texts. And then my answer is always like, yep, I'll take care of it. No problem. I'll make that change. Not an issue. Got it. And then after the wedding, like, who does that for you?
Nobody.
So it's like, whether you have a wedding planner or not, because we're talking, you know, maybe specifically about brides or clients that we have that form a relationship with us, I do know that if you have really been like very, very involved with planning your wedding every step of the way, and it's kind of felt like another full-time job, then once the wedding's over, it can be a little bit sad or lonely, or like, what am I doing now? For the past year, I sort of defined myself as a bride-to-be, and now all the parties are over. You're not the center of attention all of a sudden. Like, it might feel a little bit, you know,
sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. What we wanted to talk about is how that's like normal and it's okay. And this too shall pass.
Absolutely. So before jumping right in, Christy and I got an email from a listener yesterday. And I thought it was a really sweet email. I really like to read our, you know, iTunes reviews or emails from you all, because we love it, and we appreciate you. And we're here in our houses recording into these microphones, looking at each other on the computer, wondering,
is anybody out there?
Who's listening to this? Who's going to hear this? And do they like it? Are we hitting the right points and topics? Like, are we helping people? Really? Yeah. So anyway, this is an email. I'm not going to say her name because we haven't responded to her yet. But she's a bride. And here's what she said. I just wanted to thank you two wonderful women for your podcast. I had to plan my wedding in under 1 week due to a family emergency. Remember that episode, Life Happens When You're Planning a Wedding?
Totally.
I could not have done it without the help of your podcast. I looked all over for a good podcast. I found yours and listened to every single episode in 2 days.
Is Christy, that even possible?
I don't know.
She had to skip through some or like do that fast talky thing you can do on podcasts where the people talk really fast and they could just go like this the entire time.
Oh, right. You can fast forward 15 or 30 seconds. Yes, there's players that do that. Okay. All right. Where am I? I found yours and listened to every single episode in 2 days. You've really changed my wedding for the better by sharing your knowledge. I appreciate you, Christy, and you, Michelle. I really enjoyed planning my wedding. I actually feel like I could make a career out of it. LOL. Thanks again.
Boom. That was a very nice email to get.
That was so nice. And I, whatever your family emergency was, I hope everything is okay. I don't want to think about what could be going on to have to do this, you know, in a week. But I'm also kind of like, wow, you did that in a week, girl. Like, good for you. And it's done.
Yeah. Sometimes the smaller timelines, and that is very, very, very small, but sometimes the more the less time people give themselves to plan, the quicker they're making decisions. Like, there's no time to hem and haw.
Yeah.
So if you find somebody, do it.
I've had that. I remember I had a couple who was in the Coast Guard, and but they were both stationed in different states, and they had just found out they were both going to be in San Francisco on this certain week. Granted, I didn't have a week to plan it, but I had like a little under 3 months to plan the wedding. They contacted me. It was a really small wedding, and it was really nice because we did it on the fly. We did it quick. And there were quite a few vendors who were really flexible and were like, oh, you know what? I'm not booked that day. Let me give you a good price. And, you know, they were in the Coast Guard. So they were, you know, like they wanted to help them out financially. And venues who weren't booked already were willing to work with us. Yeah. So it turned out to, like, that was one of the most fun times I had planning a wedding, was that quick one. Mm-hmm. And getting it done fast. I really liked that. So
we should note that
there's something. Yeah.
Military discounts are a thing in the wedding industry. So if,
huge.
Yeah. If either partner or both are in the military, you should definitely mention that. Not everybody will give you a discount, but if, you know, most will. So that's that we've never actually mentioned that before. But also, on the short planning timeline, like this bride and like your couple, and like I did for my own wedding, there's something a little bit liberating. You have to have the right kind of like personality going into it, because you cannot be somebody who wants to consider every single option and do a pro and con list for every vendor and really have your hand in every pot. You have to be ready to just have a list of needs. Oh, we found somebody that meets those needs. Great. Signed, moved on. And you don't reconsider everything.
Right.
But I think it can be kind of liberating to do that, because you're planning a big wedding. Maybe the wedding is going to be just as big and, you know, just as what you always thought it was going to be when you might have thought you had a year to plan. But doing it in a short amount of time can take away, actually, some stress, which feels almost counterintuitive, because it's like, shouldn't it be more stressful? You have less time to do everything. But if you have less time to do it, you sort of make yourself just be happy with what you've decided and move on with it.
I think a lot of the stress comes from having to weigh out your options and take a long time to make that decision because we're spending so much money. And that is why if you are going to plan your wedding in a short amount of time, you should definitely hire a wedding planner because you're going to question making those decisions so fast because you're spending so much money. And so if you have an expert who does this all the time, it's going to be much easier for them to say, without a doubt, absolutely, go with this photographer, go with this florist, go with this caterer, and this venue. Like there's absolutely no way any of this is going to be bad.
You're kind of outsourcing based on trust, which can be really freeing for a bride and groom. Like we hired Michelle because we trust her, so let's just do what she said.
Yeah,
and that's easier to get on board in a short planning timeline. So, anyways. Great job planning your wedding in a week. We hope the wedding day was just phenomenal and everything you wanted it to be. And thank you for emailing us. You know, Michelle, it also just occurred to me that maybe with talking about like post, if today's topic is like post-mortem, post-weddings, does anybody listen to our podcast after they get married?
Oh,
or are they just like, peace out, bitches. I'm married now. I don't need your podcast anymore.
Thanks for all that info, but I don't want it. Well, you know, if any of you, this could be actually one of the points because I wrote down some pointers of what you can do after the wedding is over to like ease yourself into life. You could continue listening to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Yeah, we can just be your friends for like, after the wedding too.
And actually, what you could do, and this is I'm serious right now. This is actually helpful and a great call to action is, email us and tell us about your wedding. Tell us what you did. Tell us what info you got from us. Tell us what info you didn't get from us.
Right. Maybe if you have any regrets or if there was anything you would do differently.
Or what you think we should warn our listeners about.
Yeah.
Please. That would be awesome. And you'd still get to do something with wedding.
And we would talk about you on the air. And how thrilling is that? For our millions upon millions
of listeners.
It's so weird because out of all those millions of listeners, it's like none of them have heard of Twitter. So weird. It's like they don't even know what it is. I don't have time to explain to everyone what Twitter is and how it works. I don't even understand myself.
For some reason, Donald Trump is the only person that posts to Twitter.
Like, we just don't get it. I need to take a page out of his book and just, like, write angry, irrational stuff in all caps and then end every tweet with, like, sad. Send us your wedding questions. We want to know. We want to help you. Sad.
Wrong. Oh, my God. I can't. We have to stop this right now.
If we had a million, now we only have half a million listeners.
Yeah. Everybody has now turned off their podcast player.
I'm sorry, y'all. We're real people. We're real humans.
Wedding planners.
All the way around.
They're people just like us.
Okay. So we kind of split up today's podcast into two parts. One is
episode.
Like the logistic. It's an episode. What did you say? Like paperwork?
Administrative.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to take on some logistical administrative stuff that you will need to do or think about doing or put on your list for post-wedding. And I'm talking about from the minute you walk out of the venue.
So this is important because we all think about the planning, what we have to do before the day. But there's actually things you have to get done after.
Yes. And some of them.
And get them done quick.
Some of them have deadlines. And if you're going on a honeymoon, they don't care. The deadline is the deadline.
It's like, Christy, when you come back from a vacation, do you unpack right away or do you leave that suitcase in the corner of the room opened and go through it for the next week? Be honest.
I think this is really obvious that we're going to be opposites on this. My suitcase stays in my closet.
Damn you.
And I pull out the dirty clothes, but I pretty much, I would say a week or two before the suitcase gets fully emptied and put away.
Oh,
you do it like the second you come home, huh?
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah.
The minute I come home, You should. We went to New Hampshire this past weekend. We had so much stuff. The car was packed. My husband and I came home. We're like, kids, go brush your teeth. And him and I were like running back and forth past each other through the entire house, putting things away, unpacking, rolling up this, throwing this away, putting this in the fridge. Like, we are the same. And he had his headphones in, and I think I had like the radio on, and then we were just like laughing at each other.
Afterwards,
like, we are so good at this.
Afterwards, you give each other like a chest bump, like a jump high five.
Adulting. Like pounding our chest. Yes, we have got it down.
Well, that is not what happens in this house, and I have to unpack and put everything away for everyone. Nobody, Lance, I don't even know if he knows.
Lance,
where
get on this,
suitcases,
man.
Go. It's horrible. But
to each his own. But this stuff after the wedding.
Yeah, you can have your honeymoon suitcase open for 2 weeks afterwards. Whatever. We're not talking about that stuff. But let's start from the beginning. Immediately after the wedding, you're packing up your car with stuff.
It's that night.
That night, you're leaving the venue. If you're not the one packing up a car with some shit, somebody is. Your mom, your friends, your wedding planner, somebody
is. You might be a little drunk.
And one of those things is going to be a box, a giant box of cards. Whether, you know, you had a little bird cage for people to put their cards in or what, but somehow those cards for you, your gifts, need to go with you if you're going home. And they need to go to a very specific place if you're not going home because they have money in them.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I will tell you this from experience. It's really fun to sit like on the floor together and open up all these cards and see what you got. But also, you know, people write little notes and you want to keep that stuff. So the cards need to be somewhere safe and secure and not, you know, lost. Like you need to know where they are.
That's so fun. I loved doing that.
And keep the cards. Maybe keep them with the money. And if you're going on a honeymoon, just deposit it when you get back so that you can write thank you notes, which we'll go over at the end. So the cards are one thing you need. And the other thing you need to make sure that you have a plan for is if you personally have to return any rentals, which is usually just the cake stand. If you got a cake stand with your cake, chances are the bakery had a little note that said you have to return this cake stand within a week. That's usually on the contracts. And it's also usually something that gets forgotten. I don't know. I mean, so many bakers have told me like we always have to write an email reminding couples, hey, where's that cake stand? And, you know, your credit card might be on file and they might charge you a lot more than that cake stand is worth. So little things like that. If you rented anything that has to be returned, someone needs to do it in the next week after the wedding. The other item, which is a piece of paperwork, is the actual marriage license that you signed with your officiant. Chances are your officiant will be the one that mails that into City Hall or whatever office you need to send it into. If your officiant is a church person, or a professional officiant, they will take the license that you signed and that they signed and turn it in. But if your officiant is your friend or your cousin or, you know, someone who doesn't feel comfortable taking it with them, then you might be the one who has to actually put it in the mail. And that needs to go in the mail within the next week after your wedding. And then you also might want to look into what it takes to request a copy of that marriage license, because in my experience, no office will send it back to you or send you a copy. You have to request and pay for a copy. And all that information would be on the municipal website of whatever county you got your license from. So that's stuff to kind of jot down and think about before the wedding so that you don't just forget to do it and you never send your license in. And then 2 years later, you find out you're not actually legally married. I don't know. That could happen,
make yourself a post-wedding list with all this on it.
So we've got cards, returning rentals, mail in the license, and request a copy of the license. The other thing that might happen right after the wedding is if you have any final balances due to vendors, which is going to be anybody that's invoicing you based on consumption. The last wedding I did, the only invoice they got after the wedding was for popsicles, because they had a popsicle vendor come. And the charge was, however many popsicles we give to your guests, that's what we'll charge you for. But you might have alcohol or like a bar tab that you have to pay the hotel that you couldn't pay ahead of time. So you can't forget final balances just because you're married now and you spent a lot of money on the wedding. You might not be done spending money yet. And along with final balances, if you're thinking about vendors after the wedding, think about emailing vendors feedback, because it's going to be fresh in your mind. And with feedback comes reviews. If you are a Yelper, we always appreciate reviews. We always appreciate positive reviews. And if you have something negative that you want to talk to any of your vendors about, it might be appropriate to email them with a list of what happened or questions or maybe something you weren't happy with, to see if anything can be done post-event. Sometimes it can, sometimes it can't, but you're going to remember more the sooner that you do it. Oh, and one note about Yelp. If you've never Yelped before, and this has happened to me several times and it pisses me off every time. Like, I have brides who have never Yelped. They don't have a Yelp account, but they want to Yelp about me because they loved me so much. So they're going to put, they're saying like, Christy, I'm going to write you the best review on Yelp. And they go on Yelp for the first time and they write a stellar review for me. And then Yelp filters it and it gets sent to some magical hidden file and nobody gets to see that review on my profile because Yelp filters it. If you've never written a review before, they think that you're not like a legit reviewer. And Yelp is a monster and most of us hate it, but it's like, hate the game, not the player. Like, you know, we got to have some sort of Yelp presence. So just think about that. If you really, really love your vendor and you want to write a review, maybe write some other random reviews for restaurants or coffee shops first, and then write your planner, your DJ, your caterer, an awesome review that'll actually get posted.
And if your vendor has a Facebook page and they have it set up as a business page, you could go on their Facebook page and write a review there as well, or give them a star review, which is also very helpful. And I feel like things are going toward Facebook now too, just kind of for business and advertising and all that. So Yelp, yes, definitely. But Facebook would be great.
And Facebook has less rules about that stuff and filtering. And then also, if you found your vendor on Wedding Wire or The Knot.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, Style Me Pretty's like Little Black Book or something like that. They might contact you, you know, an auto follow up with, would you like to write a review about DJ Brandon Styles? And you can say, yeah, you know, that helps too, because if it's on The Knot or Wedding Wire, most likely the vendor is paying to have that listing. So it really helps if you write reviews, because then they get higher up the list, and, you know, 25 five-star ratings is really great for a vendor. So again, reviews are totally up to everyone. They're not necessary. They do help us. But if you have something negative to say, I would email first just to see if something can be resolved before posting a scathing review of a wedding vendor when you're emotional and mad and whatever. And I hope that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so final balances and then feedback. If you wore a wedding dress and you want to keep that wedding dress or resell it or let somebody else wear it, you probably need to look into where you can get it professionally dry cleaned and preserved. And find a place that specializes in this. Don't just assume that your dry cleaner, that you know, your neighborhood dry cleaner can take on a wedding dress. There's, you know, really specific things and materials and boning and structure. And once it's fucked up, you know, you might not be able to get it back to the way it was. So take it somewhere that does wedding dresses. And if you want it preserved, they'll put it in like a special box, fold it up a certain way. Is yours done like that, Michelle, somewhere?
I don't think we want to talk about my wedding dress. I was a very bad, bad, bad bride.
Uh-oh.
I was very bad.
All right.
Okay, all right, let me just tell a story. Should I tell us? Okay. Don't think any less of me out there. I had my wedding dress made, like custom made by this woman in the East Bay in California. And her name was Bonnie. And I had so much fun at my wedding. That dress was tore up. And so she, as part of her, you know, she said, after the wedding, I want you to bring the dress back to me and I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna make it look, preserve it back. And I was like, cool. And then you can go get it cleaned or whatever. So I did. I brought it back to her and I just dove right into starting my business after my wedding. And I knew she would always be there. She was always there. Bonnie was always there. She was always there. She was always there. She was always there.
Until
I moved away.
Holy shit.
And I did get years. And she had called me a couple times. And I said, I'm going to come by. You guys, I don't know why I did this. And I'm really upset about this to this day. And I did try to get back in touch with her. But it was so many years later. And I think I don't know where my wedding dress is. My wedding gown, Christy. I can't tell you how disappointed in myself I am about that.
Regrets here on the Wedding Planning Podcast.
Seriously. And I've gone deep into my, like, what does this mean? Uh-huh. Like, how could I have done this? You know, but all I can tell you is, it's 17 years later and I'm still married. 16 years later, sorry.
Is okay, she I still in my business?
I don't know. I need to reach out to my friend who's a florist who knows her and ask her about it.
Yeah.
You know what? I need to email her right now.
We're going to get you that wedding dress back. The next time I record with
I
you,
have
I
a
want
feeling
you
it's not
that wedding dress.
I mean, really? Would you have kept it 16 years later? She probably got angry with me. And was like, how could you?
Well, she
and
made
I don't blame
it, so
her.
Maybe she's using it as, you know, an example. Maybe it's on a mannequin in the lobby of her shop. Or maybe it's on a mannequin as an example of somebody who tore her dress up. Like, this is what happens. This is why you need to come. You know how libraries have, like, an example of a badly treated library book so all the kids understand?
Oh, I know what else it was too. It's not totally my fault. She said, I mean, she was joking, but she said, listen, I'm not giving you this dress back until you send me photos. Because she made my dress and all my bridesmaids' dresses and the flower girls. And I was like, okay. Hold me to it, Bonnie. Hold me to it. No, it's bad.
You never
sent
her
bad.
Photos and you never
I never
sent
her photos. I don't have my wedding photo album. I didn't get a photo out. I didn't do my photo album.
That's one of the next things
I'm
going to talk
about.
Wow. We're going to need some therapy after this.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know. My wedding dress is somewhere in my garage in this little preserved box, but I don't know why. I don't know why I still have it.
I have to tell you, the house I'm renting, this has this huge basement. That this is something, people. What are you guys doing with your wedding gowns? There's in my basement downstairs. My landlord has a lot of stuff in the basement. And do you know her wedding gown is hanging down there in a very big zipped up, you know, protected thing? But it's hanging down there in the basement.
I don't know I mean, my mom always had hers, and I thought one day I would try it on. I don't even think I ever did. Now I don't know where it is. But I mean, would you if you had yours? Would you be keeping it for your daughter to...
Well, I hope that she's going to be taller than me. And I hope that she's going to get her own wedding gown.
I don't know any brides
maybe
who are wearing
cuts...
their mom's gown.
Well, I have known brides to, like, take a part of the wedding gown and, like, put that under the skirt, you know, or put that in one spot, but not wear it. And that's the thing, like, in that whole Maria Kondo book I read, okay, I'm getting way off topic, but, like... Whatever these precious things are to you, at that time, they served their purpose, right? And then you let it go. Unless maybe it's your wedding gown. I don't know. I'm getting very stressed out.
I'm not judging you about this, by the way. It's okay that you don't have it and that Bonnie has it somewhere.
Well, our millions of listeners, Bonnie,
if you're listening.
I know you're not listening.
Bonnie's like, what's a podcast? I don't even.
Bonnie's like, you know, sewing things, but I don't know. I got to look into this. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing to think about, brides, if you're listening. If you want to keep your dress, find a place that will clean it and preserve it for you. And if you don't want to keep it, there are plenty of resale shops, especially if it's a designer dress. You can find webs, you know, this is online stuff, or just consignment stores in your neighborhood, in your area, might take wedding dresses as well.
Do it. So that's something to think about. Don't be like me. Get it done. Please. You will regret it for your entire married life.
The other thing on my list was photos, which is another regret of Michelle's, is that most likely you're going to be sent a bunch of cell phone photos that guests took of your wedding, and you might have a lot on your phone too. But you're going to have to wait several weeks, months maybe, before you get the professional photos back. And maybe you're getting an album professionally made. If you are, good for you. Most people, in my experience, maybe they order a small album, but the big idea is we're getting all these digital files and we're going to print and make our own albums. I love making photo albums. It's all on our computers and on the cloud, but it is a real shame to not have any of your wedding photos printed. So do that at some point in the first 6 months after you get married. Take the time to, you know, look at your walls and decide which photos you want to, you know, enlarge and frame and put on the walls of your home, and then throw everything else into a photo album. The old fashioned kind where you slip the pictures in the plastic, those are fun, or make a digital album. I like MPics. Do you use MPics? The letter MPIX.com. It's a printing.
I don't print anything.
It's online printing that's like professional quality and good prices. So I'll put that in the show notes just because it's my go-to, and you can do albums there.
I do want to say I do have 3 photos from my wedding printed and displayed in a frame, really cute, in my house.
Yeah.
I do have that.
I've seen those. So you had to have some. I have some as well. I only have 2 on the actual like frames walls of my house, but I have a big album. But the point is, like, just don't let the digital pictures just sit on your computer, because no one's going to see them. You know, it's not an heirloom if you have to like open up your computer when your grandma comes over to show her the photos of your wedding. So
yeah,
do that. That's important. Oh, one quick note. You might have, if you did a BYOB, you might have a bunch of leftover alcohol for your wedding.
BYOB?
Bring your own beer.
Wait.
If you did like a BYO bar, like you brought your own alcohol.
Not your, okay, no. You made me think like you're asking the guests to bring, no.
No, just you, like you did your own bar.
If you purchased your alcohol. Yes. Okay.
A lot of places will, and talk to them about this before you buy your alcohol, but a lot of places will let you return unopened bottles or unopened cases.
Yes.
The last wedding I did had, I gave my clients an estimate of like what they were just going to serve: beer, wine, and margaritas. So I gave them a breakdown of my formula, what they need to order. And I think they listened to me for the beer and the tequila, but somewhere something got lost with the sparkling wine that they brought, like their champagne. It was cava. And people were drinking cava all night. But at the end of the night, there were 4 cases of cava, unopened cases of cava left over. 4. And I was like, that's not right. I mean, that's a lot of cava. And they
that's
returned
a lot
it.
Of cava.
Yeah, they returned all 4 of those back to, I think it was Specs here, but BevMo,
BevMo's
on the West Coast.
Great for that.
Specs takes returns back. So look into that. If you have a bunch of alcohol, usually there's a time limit on how long you have to return it all. That's a post-wedding thing. And lastly, one of my favorite topics and also things to do in life, thank you notes. Thank you notes. It's kind of daunting because if you had 300 guests at your wedding, you got a lot of gifts. And if there's ever a time in your life that you're going to write thank you notes, and I know not everybody does it. I know most people don't, but the time to do it is your wedding.
You have to do it on your wedding.
Yeah. These people came to your wedding. They're important to you. They celebrated you. Oftentimes just coming to a wedding is a big cost. And then on top of that, they gave you $75 to Crate and Barrel. So thank them. you know, buy a giant box of thank you notes from Target, order thank you notes with your pictures on them, whatever you want to do, just do more than send a text thanking your guest.
A lot of these gifts you're going to get before the wedding.
Totally.
So you can just start writing them, you know, a little tip is write them before. Just
yes.
Start at least writing the address on the envelope.
Yes. And you can use the same, you know, addresses that you use to send the invitations, like print out labels or print out envelopes. Make it easy on yourself and write as many thank you notes as you can ahead of time. But for all the checks or cash that you get on the wedding day, if that's what you get, you know, write thank you notes in an appropriate amount of time, which is like 4 or 5 months. It doesn't have to be right afterwards. Just don't forget about it.
I think it's supposed to be within 3 months, but yes.
Yeah. Well, you could give gifts within the first year, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You have, as a guest, you have up to X amount of time. I thought it was 6 months to send a gift.
And then also, if you wanted to write thank you notes to vendors, which a lot of people do, I see, like, when I go into a cake shop, there's like a whole wall of thank you notes from, you know, former brides and grooms. That's really sweet also. And if you wanted to tip after your wedding, retroactively tip your vendors, you can do that in a thank you note. Thank you so much for being such an awesome DJ. We loved when you played that one song and you were just great the whole night. And here's a you know, token of our gratitude. So that's it. That wraps up all the administrative logistical stuff to do. Oh, I didn't even mention, if you're wanting to change your name, that there's
you
a lot of
that.
Things to do with a name change. You have to do your social security card, your passport, you know, banks, all that stuff. If
driver's
you have a home,
license.
But the biggest part is going to be starting that process. And there's, you know, several different agencies, and it can be kind of annoying. It is an annoying administrative task, is the name change. But now there's online programs and stuff that will help you. And one of them is called Hitch Switch. And I you go to the website and you type in your maiden name, the name you want to change it to. You pay a nominal fee and tell them where you live. And then they fill out a lot of the paperwork for you and send it to you for signatures and do a lot of the collecting for you in terms of the different agencies you have to send it to. So check that out, or just Google name change Alabama and figure out, you know, what you're supposed to do in your state, in your country, to legally change your name if you're going to. And it's annoying, but you can look at it as, like, when you order your new checkbooks and it says your married name, that's kind of cool. Like, look forward to those moments and be like, I just got my first piece of mail with our name on it instead of my maiden name, if you're doing that. So that's another thing.
Yes. Yes. So I did a little research online, because there is an emotional, obviously weddings are very emotional, and you've got people that are planning for as much as a year, 9 months before. For many of these couples, at least one of the partners, this is like, I'm creating my dream day. I'm engaged. All the attention is on me. Mom is so excited. Future mother-in-law is so excited. My sister, my coworkers, like,
I got all these parties being thrown for me.
I've got parties. I'm going on shopping sprees.
People are giving me a little bit of leeway when I'm kind of an asshole.
Yep. They're just like letting it go, mm-hmm. because I'm getting married. And I have been talking about and thinking about this wedding every day for like a year.
And there's no shame in the fact that it might have been really fun. That, like, I've loved talking about my wedding for the last year. It's been so fun.
It's been fun. And I'm really good at planning this. I've been doing a really good job. My fiance and I are having so much fun with it. And I've been listening to Michelle and Christy and taking wedding breaks. Yes, when I need to. And, you know, being considerate and being careful of wedding fatigue. But this has been amazing.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of,
oh my gosh,
you.
It's coming up in 3 months. Oh my gosh, it's coming up in 2 months. It's next month. It's next week. it's tomorrow. It was awesome. It's over. It's over. And
yeah, what
I have these
now?
Stupid things I need to do now that Christy and Michelle said. But like, other than that, like, yeah, I'm looking at the pictures and my friends are texting me and this is cool, but it's over. It's over. And now I have these weird, I'm kind of depressed.
It happens.
And I feel bad. I feel bad about being depressed because how shallow of me. I shouldn't feel depressed. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. Don't ever feel bad about being depressed, first of all. But, you know, it's like it's this huge day you're looking forward to for so long.
Yeah, you just finished a marathon. So it's a little bit like, what do I do now? Where do
I run
now?
Well, now what?
Yeah.
Now what? And I just got to stare at my, you know, spouse. And what are we going to talk about now?
So what's our advice, Michelle? Like, I mean, I want to say, like, just enjoy being a wife. Like, that's a whole nother role. But
that's
not
a whole
nother
role,
right?
But that's not... Well, you know, I would definitely, there's some stuff I found online. Okay. First of all, there's obviously you're feeling this way for a reason. It's totally normal. The attention is fading. There's ebbs and flows with everything in life. So here's a few things you can do. One of the things I thought was interesting that I saw online was don't have your honeymoon right after the wedding.
Oh,
And I didn't either because I couldn't afford it. But
just so it can be something else to look forward
you're
to?
You're planning something and you're looking forward to it. So maybe you have it a month after the wedding. Or maybe you don't start planning it until after the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just to kind of like wean you off. You know, like you got to get weaned off of stuff that you got to quit,
yeah.
Right? You got to kind of... Either you rip off the Band-Aid or you just kind of wean yourself off. So maybe you're planning your honeymoon
because
and you're getting ready for that.
Yeah. And if you think about it, planning a wedding is such a big undertaking that to throw in like a giant international trip on top of that is very much doing two things at once. Maybe it's totally okay to just do the one thing and then wait. But this is an extra reason to wait on that is so that you
this
can
an
kind
extra
of
reason.
Like, yeah. Prolong the inevitable.
Yeah. So, I mean, immediately following the wedding, you're still going to have lots of stuff to do and you're still going to have like these photos that your friends took, right? They're going to be texting them to you. They're going to be posting them to your Facebook page. You can, you know, make a book, you know, have it printed. You'll have those things to do. So give yourself a little time to kind of relish in that, but then maybe you start planning your honeymoon. A lot of my clients end up buying houses during the time they're planning their wedding. I don't know how they are doing this.
Yeah, that's a big thing as well.
But they are doing this, and it's very stressful. But maybe you prolong that. I mean, obviously, there's certain reasons you buy a house because of prices and whatnot. But maybe you buy a house after the wedding, or... Maybe you bought the house, but don't worry about decorating it yet. Don't worry about the furniture and that. Make that a project after the wedding.
Yeah.
Get your house in order.
You remember Matt and Amanda? You do. And we had them on the podcast a couple times.
Yeah.
And their wedding was in May. And Matt had done a lot of work on the house because they're renovating like an older house before the wedding. But with wedding planning, they were spending money on the wedding and they sort of stopped doing the house stuff. And I texted with them right after, a couple of weeks after the wedding, like checking in, how are things? Do you guys miss me? Because we're not talking, you know, we're texting all the time now about weddings. And both of them were like, yeah, it's kind of weird to be in this place of like when all we were thinking about and talking about was weddings and this wedding and now we're not. So I'm diving back into the house reno.
Exactly.
And he is. And it's like they found that they work really well together on things that are a partnership. Planning your wedding is a partnership. Redoing your house is a partnership. Planning your honeymoon. So, you know, you can take some of the communication lessons you might have learned when planning your wedding and apply them to other fun things that are going to take time and money and big things that you have to work out together. Buying a house.
Projects.
Renovating. Any projects. Yeah. That's really good advice. Do one at a time.
Remodel a room. You know, redecorate a room. Build
paint
furniture.
The outside.
Lindsay, my bride from June, the one who said wedding hangover, she said, like, she literally, Christy, built so much with her hands for her wedding. It was unbelievable. And I was like, you have a natural talent. I know you're an attorney, but like, this is amazing. And so she dove right into that. And this is another tip. Some of you out there will notice that you have these talents because of your wedding. And you might go into starting a business. Lindsay is starting, she's making things, and she loves it and she's passionate about it. So now she has these projects of furniture she's making for people. She's redoing her office, and I saw it on Facebook, she built this huge, beautiful wooden desk for her home office.
So she's
for her and her
discovered
wife.
This talent in the process of planning her wedding.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been like hands-on building stuff, but like now it's like, okay, I'm going to go for this. Cool. Like I'm going to get serious about it. So start a business. From planning my wedding and having the experience I had before planning my wedding, realized that that was my calling, to be a wedding planner. Much of the reason I don't have my dress, I'm going to blame it on that. But, you know, I went to school. I went to SF State. I got my certification. I started my business. So these things happen after weddings. Start a project, start a business, buy your home, plan your honeymoon, go to school. A lot of people will decide, you know what, I just made this big life change. I've been thinking about it forever. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back to school. And I'm going to get my degree in whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's another thing you can do.
Take the act of getting married as like a jumping point for other big
parlays
life
you
moves.
Into. Yeah. Yes. And then another thing is, and I recommend this during wedding planning, but post-wedding planning, go see a therapist. Talk your feelings out to a professional.
We love therapists.
We love therapists, and we always take care of our physical bodies, but it's also our mental health that we need to take care of. So there are premarital counselors out there that help with this. But then afterwards, if you are feeling this kind of empty space after your wedding and you just don't know what's going on, go see a therapist. They can help you. They can talk you through it.
Do you have like get a hobby on your list?
No, but that's a good idea.
And not in a, you know, rude way to say that, but I'm thinking like if you and your, let's say you're a straight couple and you're the bride. If you and your groom now had been spending the past 8 months planning the wedding and every time you went out to dinner, you were talking about wedding stuff. Maybe now there's a little bit of extra time now that your wedding is done to do something else together now that you're married. You take a ballroom dance class or, you know, go to couples yoga, do something that like you might have put
go
off
fishing
until we have time. And now you have time.
Now you have time to do those things on a weekend.
Yeah.
Also, there's always going to be friends and family planning either their wedding or showers.
Graduations.
Jump on that planning committee. Help them out. You have some vendors now. You've got a timeline. You're in that mode. That's also another thing you can do. But you should definitely take some sort of a cool down period after the wedding. Maybe it's 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. See how you feel. And then jump back into something like this. Maybe you and your partner start a business together too, like you were saying, Matt and Amanda. Like, you are a team. You're probably really good at working on things together. And if you are, start yourself
find
a little business. Yeah.
And you know, we're not mentioning this other giant component, but it's not because it's not there. It's because maybe we assume that it is, and these are other ideas. But we hope that for the majority of you listening, after your wedding, you feel great. And you're just like, being married is so great. This has been what I've been waiting for. Now we get to like play house for the rest of our lives. And I can't wait to buy a new couch. And I'm not relieved that the wedding is over, but very happy and excited to just jump into this next phase of your life, which is a spouse. So we're giving you all these ideas and ways to sort of fill the time or fill the void if you're feeling that way, or address some feelings of like a wedding hangover or wedding lull or depression. But we don't want to discount that, you know, maybe you just feel great. Like the wedding is over and I love you so much and I just want to nest, or I just want to chill out and watch Netflix, or I don't want to think about wedding stuff. And I can't wait to see the photos when our photographer finally sends them. So if that's where you are, we, you know, congratulate you and, you know, wish you all the best. And like being married is really fun. And you should feel like you're starting a life with your best friend. It does feel different than living with your partner. I really believe that, you know, and I lived with my husband before we got married, but after we were married, it did feel a little different. And I thought that was really wonderful. So, you know, relish in that a little bit. Yes, the attention is not all on you anymore, but you're married. This is what you wanted. This was the whole point all along.
Yeah. And I think it goes without saying that I'm a big proponent. We are of just being still, living in the present, meditating, just being okay with not doing anything as well, which is why I say take that cooling off period and just chill. Just make yourself calm down, slow your mind.
Refer to your partner as your husband. Like the first time you introduce him as your husband, you're going to kind of get a little butterfly in your stomach, you know, or...
I hope this has been helpful for everybody. I think we can wrap it up. I do want to mention that this is going to release this show on Wednesday, the 16th. And we are going to be recording with Ann Chertoff again of Wedding Wire. And we are asking you to write to us with questions for Ann. She is a trends expert. So if you need any advice on something you're doing with your wedding, visually or, you know, logistically, she is a wedding trends expert and she could give you some really great ideas. So we would like you to have that to us by the 17th of August, midnight, whatever time, as long as we have it on the morning of the 18th, because that's when we're recording with Anne. So you can tweet us at
TBWP podcast, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And our email address is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook.
So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. As always, we appreciate you and your feedback. And we are so, so welcoming of that and wanting that. And enjoy the planning process or post-planning process. And happy planning.
Yes, enjoy it all.
Talk to you later, lady.
Okay, bye.
Bye.